Hi everybody, Andy here again. Well, yesterday, last night actually, I went to a friend's 50th birthday party. Nothing particularly exciting about that. But something that happened then, I had to read out, or was, should I say, I was asked to read out a poem. And apparently this particular family, there's like a tradition, one of the brothers of the birthday boy, if you want to call him that, traditionally sort of writes poems about family events and when you get these sort of momentous family events. Even he's done it at funerals and things like that, I think. But obviously 50th birthday is a special occasion, and once again he wrote a poem about it. Now normally the person in at these family events, not my family, who would normally read out these poems was actually the person whose party it was yesterday, and it was meant to be a surprise, so there wasn't anybody to read the poem. The person who writes them, there's no way that he would ever get up in front of people, no matter how many or how few people, and actually read out one of these poems, even when, it's an example last night, when the person would have had a few drinks beforehand, a bit of Dutch courage if you want. So I was asked by the guy's birthday is by his wife, if I would read the poem out instead. I said, yeah, no problem at all. And it just makes me think about the way that these things happen and how certain people get asked for this. Because as I just said, the person whose poem it was, who wrote it, I had a chat with him and he said, oh no, I couldn't get up there and do that. Even though he would have had a few beers, as I said, to sort of calm the nerves if he was bothered about that. I suppose there were sort of 50, 60 people there. And the way that I had to do it in the end to read the poem, I actually had to go up the stairs and sort of look down on everybody and read this poem out. Now, I've done a fair amount of this type of thing, but the reason I've done that is partly because I'm possibly one of those sort of few percent of people who's actually, say, happy, but is able to do that type of thing without too much effort. So many people won't do it, as I've just explained. And I got into this whole sort of comparing type thing, or reading these things out, a few years ago now, with the event that I'm involved with now quite heavily, an event called Beatles Day here in Hastings, where I'm sort of more or less the main compere of the event now, I think the organiser would admit and agree with that. And I only got involved with that through my sort of DJing on the radio, and the person who organised it several years ago, the event sort of grew bigger, and they went on to actually to Hastings Pier, onto the Pier Ballroom, a ballroom that could hold about 2,000 people, as it did on the first couple of years that I did it, that particular event on there. And so they wanted to get some proper compares, as opposed to people just sort of announcing things and nothing really structured, should we say. And they asked a couple of the main DJs on the station at the time, but both of them refused. Oh no, we can't do that. And that's one of those things that really surprises me. You get people who are quite happy to speak into a microphone on a radio station, but when you see them outside, they're actually quite nervy, or they would never get up and do that sort of thing in front of an audience. And I find that quite strange and quite hard to believe, maybe because I'm more able to do it than they are, for whatever reason it is. And I've noticed that amongst a lot of people, there are some of the DJs who are more than happy to get up there and do it, and others who do sort of walk and run a million miles before they had to do that type of thing. And so I say this, going back to this event, and then I was asked, and a friend of mine was asked, and we both said, yeah, okay, we'll do it, we'll give it a go. I'd never done anything like that before. Yes, I'd done some radio DJing, but I'd never got up on a stage like that, and a pretty momentous stage, you know, a stage that people like the Stones and the Hendrix and the Who and the Kinks and Pink Floyd and Genesis and God knows who else had actually played on. So it was quite an event, and that, I suppose, maybe is what made me think, yes, I'll have a go at this. But as I've said before on lots of things, yes, I'm quite likely to say yes to things, especially if I want to get involved and want to help out. It's a charity event, etc. But since then, I've got into that, and I've been asked to do other things, which I may well come to in a minute. But people have said to me, how can you do that? How can you get up there and sort of talk in front of all those people when you haven't had a beer, you know, an event like that, you don't touch anything, you know, you're perfectly straight, so to speak. And I said, well, One of the things I sort of console myself with, if you want to put it that way, and last night was a good example, because in actual fact, the smaller gatherings, the less amount of people that there are in the audience, if you want to put it that way, in some ways, the harder it is to do it. The bigger the audience, the easier it is, because there's so many of them, and you can't really focus on any one particular person. But also, when you're there, like yesterday, doing that, several people said to me, oh, thanks for doing that, I couldn't have done that, and that's the point. They're looking at you thinking, oh, God, I don't know why I want to be up there. And maybe there's some that sort of admire you for doing it, or thinking, well, yeah, that's good that someone's got up there and do it. They would hate to be that person. So they're not willing you to fail or anything like that. You can get in some situations. Everybody is looking at you thinking, yeah, you know, that well done sort of thing. You know, I'd hate to be doing that, or I couldn't do it. Also, on a bigger stage, as I said to this guy last night, was you're standing there, you've got lights on you, you can't see anybody anywhere. You could be talking to an empty venue most of the time. You might see the first couple of rows. And I've seen other things where a band's playing in front of huge crowds, and I remember my wife saying to me about something, you know, someone playing at Nebworth, a crowd of about 100,000 people. How on earth couldn't they do that? And I thought, well, actually, I find it easier to walk out onto a stage and announce something in front of 100,000 people than I possibly would in front of about 25, because it's far more intimate. It's a smaller atmosphere. It's so much bigger that I don't think it matters. Yes, there's that chance that you might fail, but no one's going to really bother you that much, because they wouldn't want to be there themselves. But this example of this is that, as I said, people won't do it, and therefore you become one of those people who's known for doing the comparing, hence the fact I was asked to do that yesterday, hence the fact I've been asked to do a couple of other things. I mean, doing a music festival once again this year, which I get paid for, and one of the judges this year is actually going to be Roger Daltrey, the singer with The Who. So I'm going to get to work with him and to meet him, because I should be comparing the event that he's judging. So that's one of those benefits that you get from something like that. And also, I've now been asked, because of my involvement with the other things, to compare another big event in the town at the new college they've got there. And once again, that's going to be quite a little prestigious event on the local level as well. But once again, I'm getting paid for that, and I'm getting paid for that because other people are too afraid or too scared or not bold enough to actually do it themselves. Maybe I ought to charge a bit more in the future. Anyway, some thoughts and feelings about that type of thing. So if you need anyone for poetry recitals, I'm your man now, by all accounts. Anyway, thanks for your time. I'll speak to you again soon. Goodbye.